1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Hold on. We'll go on with that in a second. I want to just focus on the first two verses for a moment. The Spirit speaks expressly. It means outspoken or distinctly. There's a distinct speaking of the Spirit, which says, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know, and people are, what is the latter times? Is that the end times? Honestly, it's something I've thought about for a long time. And I don't have a definitive, the last days, yeah. But there was already departing from the faith in the time of Paul. And I suppose one could say that I believe in the end times there'll be an even greater departing. Meaning, right now there's not, the world has no real distinction that thinks Christians are Christians. Now, to those within Christianity, one group is set against another. Some people believe, everybody are okay, kind of universalist. But of course they don't, like I said, it's like, I almost would exclude myself because I can't believe in such a God. Then others would say, this group is wrong, this group is wrong. The Catholics have their opinion, the Baptists have their opinion. And so they look at others and they say they're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, those Baptists, or those people who listen to Paul Stringini, or those people who listen to Billy Graham, or those people who listen to the Pope, or, everyone looks at each other, and every group has other people they don't agree with, or they think, everyone thinks, no one thinks, well, my group doesn't have the truth. Now, it's very common for people to say to me, well, no one has all the truth. And there's a degree which I can agree with that, but that's not what I would claim. I would claim that it's not that I have all the truth that exists in the universe. It's that what I do have needs to be 100% true. It's not so much the completeness of the truth that I have as the purity of the truth that I have. I'd rather have an ounce of truth that is absolutely unmingled with falsehood than have 1,000 pounds of truth with 1 ounce of falsehood. Because according to the scriptures, a little leaven leavens the whole. The way God looks at it is, if it is not perfect, if it is not pure, it is impure. And doctrine which has falsehood in it is all false. So, of course, like everyone else, I look around me and I see, all these people who would be Christians have false doctrine. And they're giving heed to doctrines of devils, even, as far as I'm concerned. Devilish doctrines are things like the rapture doctrine and the doctrine of death, where they teach that the resurrection is already past. How do they teach the resurrection is already past? Well, because they say when people die, they go right to heaven. They're saying the resurrection is already going on. The resurrection is yet for an appointed time. The dead sleep. That's why Paul in 1 Thessalonians, he says, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. If they weren't asleep, he could have said, them which are in heaven, the way people talk today. Those are doctrines of devils. False. Lies. And of course, but people who disagree with me would say, no, Paul, you're the one who's listening to doctrines of devils. There's no clear distinction to someone who's without, who's right. If they are not, everyone within it has their opinion. Or they decide to have no opinion and say, as long as you preach Jesus, it's okay. There's plenty of people like that. look, and then to me they're nauseating because it's like you need to have an understanding. I have more respect for people who disagree with me strongly than I do for people who say, well, we shouldn't argue. And they want to try to say we're all one church. But if we're not of the same mind, we're not of the same mind. And those who are in Christ are of the same mind. That's why I look for brethren by looking to see who is of the same mind as I am. And that's my brother. And this is the work of God. He has said it like this in the world. It is a mess. It looks like that to man. So what I'm saying is, it's no clear distinction to those that are without. We just look like a bunch of arguing idiots. God has to put a real distinction between who serves God and who serves God not, so the people without can look and see who are the servants of God and who are not. Well, he doesn't have to do that, but I'd like him to do that. And in that case, giving people a clear choice between truth and falsehood, whether they know it or not, but a clear choice being presented where it's one side or the other, as opposed to all this sort of middle ground and people being deceived by the ministers and so on and so forth. In some way, I feel like this state has been going on for so long, the domination by Christianity of falsehood, that it's almost, it's so redundant. You know what I mean? It's like if there's going to be a departing in the end times to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, it's going to have to be a bigger division than it even now exists. Though no larger division is really necessary for them to already be, as it says in verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You know what that means to me? When I read that, I think of people who say this. No one can be perfect. No one can be like Christ. You're always going to sin. And that's exactly what that means to me. Because they are speaking lies. Because God has said otherwise. He said, the grace of God teaches you that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, let's go to the Lord himself. I was quoting from Titus chapter 2. And that certainly is a good example, but I want to quote the words of the Lord himself. He says in John chapter 8, he says, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant does not abide in the house forever, but the Son abides forever.